Now, friends, we've come to the last chapter, and this chapter actually continues and it concludes this second division here at the end. We've had the last section in the outline divided into prophetic burdens, beginning with chapters 9 through 14, and then there were the prophetic aspects of the first burden that were connected with the first coming of Christ, and in this last section, and that began with chapter 12 through 14, we have here the prophetic aspects connected with the second coming of Christ. Now, this last chapter, actually, it just gathers together everything and ties any loose strings there might be. I've labeled this chapter Features and Facts Connected with the Coming of Christ to the Earth. You see, the very interesting thing is that we've had a very definite program given to us in Zechariah. And that's been true in all three major divisions. When we had the 10 visions, then we had that historic interlude. And now this last major division of prophetic burdens, we always start where Israel was at that particular time and in a certain amount of difficulty. And it moves through to the national conversion of Israel, when the nation will turn to God. There's a pouring out of the Spirit of God, and that prepares the scene for the return of the Messiah, because at that time they've entered the great tribulation period. Now, this last chapter is a great climactic chapter, but it also follows the entire program that's been given to us in Zechariah. And for that reason, this is a section that leads up to and into the establishment of the kingdom at the second coming of Christ. Now, we've had that in each one of these major divisions. In other words, Zechariah, encouraging the people at that day, looks on to the future and he outlines a program. And therefore, in chapter 14, there's certain things we need to say about it. That it is wholly prophetic. It's entirely that. And then the other thing is that it has no prophecy for the present day or this present age in which we're living. It is speaking of the end of the age that ushers in the kingdom. And you will find that many of the commentators, especially the higher critical school, and today I think that largely all amillennialists follow the same plan and purpose, that this does not actually speak of prophecy, and then that it's not literal, and that it can be fitted into the present age. And believe me, that leads to some strange interpretation. Lowe and DeVette, who were a couple of the liberal boys, they belonged to that camp, they both say that this chapter defies all historical explanation. And believe me, you can say amen to that. Therefore, this chapter is entirely prophetic. That is, it's prophetic from where we are today and looks to the future. And the only interpretation that will satisfy is a literal interpretation. That's the only one that will give the meaning. And any interpretation must be in harmony with the context here. As I've said all along, that in interpreting prophecy or interpreting Scripture anywhere, you cannot disregard the context before and after. And then, also, you have to interpret this in keeping with the spirit and the feel of the entire Word of God. You just can't reach in here and come out with some wild interpretation that has no basis in fact. And I think that, very frankly, that this is a very, very important passage of Scripture, because it does one thing. It demonstrates the difference between literal interpretation and this idea of spiritualizing it and mysticalizing it, as many do, and make it mean practically nothing at all. This is not an incomprehensible or obscure connotation, making them merely something that is allegorical or something that is mythical or something that actually can be dissipated into thin air. They attempt to explain it away rather than to explain it. And by the way, let me make a suggestion, and I feel a little mean today, and this is a suggestion that is really a mean suggestion. Now, if you really want to know the position that a pastor that you're not sure about, either on radio or in the town or the city where you live, you really want to know what he believes, take the 14th chapter of Zechariah to him. Ask him to explain it to you. You'll find out when you get there what the boy really believes when he takes the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Now, may I say to you, isn't that mean to say a thing like that? This is the reason that certain of the commentators that have been liberal, great scholars of the past, actually, Hengstenberg, for instance, he refers the chapter 14 to all of the Messianic era. Well, what he really means, he refers it to this church period today. And you can't, by the wildest kind of interpretation, fit it in. And that's the reason he doesn't go into detail. And Leupold, another outstanding liberal scholar, says, our verses do not therefore apply to any one situation. They do not describe a siege, capture, and captivity which actually occurred. By means of a figure, they describe a situation which obtains continually through New Testament times. God's people shall continually be antagonized and suffer bitter adversity at the hands of their foes, and shall in consequence be brought low. But there shall always be an imperishable remnant, and that not so extremely small. Would you tell me what he really means by that? What he really means is he doesn't know what to do with this chapter at all. So the thing you do is you spiritualize it and you spread it out like butter on toast, and it'll melt just about the same way. Now, may I say that these verses are not just figurative, and they do not apply to New Testament times. And the remnant that is spoken of here, it's been made clear to us in this book, it's a Jewish remnant that he's talking about, and that this is entirely eschatological, something that we need to recognize. Now, there have been other scholars that have just called it Jewish Hilliism. Well, the fact of the matter is, as Dr. Unger says, Jewish Hilliism was wrong only in the fact that it overlooked the prophesied rejection and death of the Messiah as the indispensable prelude to his manifestation in kingdom glory.